Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
A plan to build a Ferris wheel that towered over the London Eye and the Singapore Flyer was slated to bring a major tourist attraction to Staten Island's North Shore before ballooning construction costs and other issues caused the project to fall through. Welcome to the Staten Island Advances from the Scene, a podcast bringing you an inside look at the biggest stories on Staten Island with the reporters who cover them. I'm your host, Eric Bascom, and this week I'm joined by Staten Island Advance and SILive.com business and real estate reporter Tracy Popora to discuss the greatest Ferris wheel never built. Hey, Tracy, thanks so much for joining us today.
Hi, Eric. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself? It's been a crazy year. The transition to work from home has been super weird for everybody, I imagine. How about you?
Yes, I've worked from home before, but you know, I've always had the opportunity to go into an office or to a classroom, and this just is kind of, I miss the human interaction, I'll say.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, as the business and real estate reporter, a lot of what you had done previously was going to these local businesses and profiling them and speaking to these people, doing videos, doing pictures, all of that kind of stuff. And so what has it kind of been like having to transition that to now working through the pandemic and not being able to go actually see these people?
A lot of it went pretty seamlessly because people were very interested in still talking to me, but just over the phone. And, you know, unfortunately, a little less video, but people are able to send me their own photos. We've been working it out kind of that way.
Yeah, absolutely. And some of the work that you were doing was really powerful, really impactful. The Life Upended series that you had done, kind of talking about how local businesses were flipped on their head during this pandemic, was really moving and really just showed the impact that this had across the borough. So it was great work on that. But
thank you.
We're here today to talk about the New York Wheel, which has been quite the saga at this point, to say the least. So let's start at the beginning of this story. So when did we first start hearing rumblings of the New York Wheel coming to Staten Island, and what were some of the initial reactions from borough residents and from the local elected officials?
The rumblings first started almost a decade ago under the Bloomberg administration. Staten Islanders, public officials, they seemed very interested in the project, and the big hope was revitalizing the waterfront on the North Shore and bringing tourism to Staten Island. So I think there was a lot of excitement in the beginning.
Yeah, absolutely. And so when the project was first announced, can you just walk us through a little bit about what the plan was? Where was it going to be built? Who was building it? How much did they think it was going to cost? All of that kind of stuff?
It was always at the same site that it is now, which is right near the ferry in St. George. And the project was first announced in 2012. It was part of an initiative to really make St. George into a tourist attraction. The original budget was $280 million, but by the time the project was deemed dead, which was October 2018, the cost had ballooned to over $1 billion, the estimated cost to finish the project. There was a lot of dates for when the project was supposed to get up and running. There was a lot of delays. Some of them are just what you see in construction, large-scale construction projects, and is something that's very common. But some of them just seem to have a little bit to do with the fact that this was something that's never been done before. It wasn't a building. It wasn't, you know, a storefront, a strip mall. This was a giant Ferris wheel. So there were a lot of dates to get the project up and started. It finally did get up started. And the first projection, I think, was that it was supposed to be complete in 2015, but it didn't even start till 2017.
Wow, that is a long ways off. And so can you tell us a little bit about the actual wheel that they had planned to build, how big it was going to be, what it was going to cost to ride, that kind of stuff?
The original project was going to be a 630-foot observation wheel. And when it was built, it was going to be the largest one in the world. However, by the time the project, with all the delays, there was going to be one built in Dubai that would have been taller. But basically, it was going to be something that's never been seen before when it was first planned.
Most of this has been made out of steel plate. And so there's been a lot of welding on this job. Some pretty, as far as what we like to do, this is the exact type of project that we're excellent at.
In 2016, Marshall Wood was the regional sales manager for ADF, a structural steel fabricator that worked on the early construction of the wheel.
The degree of engineering that goes into the welds that happen on a job like this are really, you know, some of the most heavy and complex that I think that you'll find out there.
And basically the cost to ride it was supposed to be $35, which at that point, you know, there started to be a lot of criticism from the Staten Island community, or at least we saw under in our comment section on our stories and in, on Facebook, because people thought it would, that was too much money to ride, you know, a giant Ferris wheel. But again, this wasn't really meant for Staten Islanders. This was meant for people coming to New York City, taking a ride on the ferry over from Manhattan and jumping on the Ferris wheel and taking a ride and getting this great view of the Manhattan skyline. So that's what it was supposed to cost at that point. But all the initial project plans have been kind of scrapped at this point.
Right. And so let's talk a little bit about some of these delays and hiccups that they had during the process. So in May 2017, the original contractor who had been working on building the wheel walked off the site after there were project delays, there were payment issues, and then we ended up with kind of these dueling lawsuits between the two sides, the contractor and the developer. Can you walk us through a little bit of what happened there?
Basically, the contractor walked off the job. The New York Wheel took the contractor, Mammoth, to court for breach of contract. During that time, Mammoth filed for bankruptcy. So that put a monkey wrench in all the plans, and the contractor was no longer going to finish the job. It was pretty clear at that point. And the court case against the contractor is still ongoing. I believe there was, the latest lawsuit was filed in on December 1st of 2020. And they're now saying that in the latest lawsuit, that it's because of Mammoth walking off the job that caused the project to fail. So that's the New York Wheel story about why the project failed, because that contractor walked off the job. And in the end, they ran out of money. So that was the basically the downfall of the project. But I think the beginning of the end was when the contractor walked off the job. They had already done the wheel garage. There's a terminal building on the site that is, I think it, the last I toured it, it looks like it's, you know, there's a lot of infrastructure there. And it looks like this would be where people would go in and get tickets for the wheel. And there's a lot of, you know, all the mechanics are there. It just, it needs to be built out inside. So a lot of work was done except on the actual wheel. And obviously there's these big pedestals in the ground that are still there that would hold what's going to be probably a smaller wheel.
Right. And so then months later in January 2018, we had Rich Marin, who is one of the co-founders of the New York Wheel, the developer, who had kind of been the public face of the project on Staten Island, right? We had done some interviews with him. He was always the one kind of leading the tours on site for us. So he stepped down from his role leading the organization.
They want to see that it's really, really happening. Because, yeah. You know, you see the blog comments here on Staten Island even.
Yeah.
People still don't really believe it's going to happen.
Rich Marin was previously the CEO of the New York Wheel.
But, you know, the whole process is going to be 2 years. It'll be finished pretty much by the end of 2016.
Can you tell us a little more about who Rich Marin is and how him stepping down affected the project?
Rich Marin was considered the founder and the CEO of The Wheel. His background was in investment banking. And before taking the helm at The Wheel, he was managing a hedge fund, but that apparently went under at some point. And he pretty much became the face of the project, but he wasn't the main investor. There are other investors that were very involved in the project was Jeffrey File of the File Organization and Lloyd Goldman, who was a big New York real estate developer. But Rich Marin was pretty much the spokesman, the outspoken, you know, face of the project. And he was very enthusiastic about it. He really headed up the whole project for the first 5 years of it. But then he stepped down in 2018, like you said, and he let those two other two lead investors take control of the project. And there was a lot of rumblings at the time over, you know, he did voluntarily step down, but whether he was asked to or not, you know, was never really clarified. But I think at some point with all the delays and things not happening, it was just time for a change.
Right. And so then in May 2018, after some of the legal battle had been settled, because as you mentioned, it's still ongoing, but the courts had given the wheel the green light to then hire a new contractor. And there had been reports that they were targeting American Bridge Company, who had experience already in large Ferris wheels. They're the people who had built the Las Vegas High Roller. I believe they also built the new Tappan Zee Bridge. But that never really came to fruition the way that they had expected. Why was it so difficult for them to come to an agreement with a new contractor?
That they really were never very transparent about. It looked like the deal was going to happen. They seemed like they were very close. And then it just fell through. And I kept getting answers that it was delayed. And I had a lot of sources. There wasn't a lot of information coming directly from the New York Wheel people. There were sources who were close to the project who were giving me information. And I just suspect, and again, this is kind of my opinion, but I think funding played a role in this, because it seemed like the lawsuit with Mammoth was going to go on, which we saw that it has. And they said they were going to hire American Bridge. They announced it, and then it just didn't happen. So they never really said why.
Right. And you mentioned the funding issue, and money issues seem to have played a major role in derailing this project in general, as the construction costs got way higher than the original projections, like you had mentioned. And then there was some issues with the people who had invested, how that money came in and whether they were going to be able to repay it. I believe some of them were immigrant investors who were involved in this kind of strange program where they were allowed to get green cards as long as they invested in these American projects. Can you explain a little bit about that and what was going on there?
Sure. EB-5 is a program where foreign investors can, I believe it's $500,000 that they invest in a project and then they get their green card in exchange. And there was a group of the EB-5 investors called Can-Am Enterprises, and these are the people who are still pushing for the wheel to happen, who were part of the investment pool, because this was all private money for this project. And they basically, everything was on their end, was there. They committed the money that they said they were going to commit. But again, the project ballooned to a much higher cost. So they were one of the investors, the many investors in this project. The thing that really happened was the investors just ran out of money. So they went to the city eventually to get some funding from the city, and they wanted it in the form of non-taxable bonds. And basically the city said no. So that was the end of the project at that point.
Yeah. And so you mentioned that kind of leads perfectly into the next point. It was in October 2018, you reported that the New York Wheel project was officially dead. They had pulled the plug on it. Why did they decide at that point? Was it really just a lack of funding, or was there anything else going on here?
I mean, they said it was a lack of funding. That's the reason they gave. Again, they had all these legal battles with the contractor. And they even let the parts for the wheel be auctioned off, because they said that there just wasn't enough money to finish the project. And I'm not sure why they didn't get more investors, but I think at that point there was a lot of opposition to this project coming from the community, people becoming very doubtful that it was going to generate the revenue that they thought it would. So it just fell apart.
Yeah. So then a couple years later, though, in July 2020, we reported that the investors were trying to revive the project. And, you know, now they're planning to bring a smaller version of the wheel to the North Shore. So not quite what we had expected in the first place, where this was going to be the largest in the world at the time and this huge tourist attraction. But they still want to do something right on this site. So what can you tell us about the new plan and whether Staten Island will ever see a Ferris wheel built on the North Shore?
Well, the new plan is by the EB-5 investors that I mentioned, Can-Am Enterprises, and they want to finish this project. And what they plan on doing is building a smaller wheel, closer in size to the London Eye. The wheel that they want to build is about 420 feet high. It would be in the exact same location, and you know, I recently took a tour of the property, and really there is a lot of infrastructure there. There is a lot. The project's almost, you know, I wouldn't give a percentage, but there's a large portion of it that you can see on the property. So they want to build this smaller wheel, and they want it. They said that it will likely happen by early 2025. So, I mean, that gives them some time to get more funding and to get the project together.
Yeah, and it's crazy that, you know, as you mentioned earlier, that this was a project that initial projections thought could be completed in 2015, and now we're thinking 2025 for a different project, and then who knows what kind of delays that one will experience if it ever does even come to fruition. So this is something that can be decades of work to bring this Ferris wheel to the North Shore, which is something I don't think anyone could have foreseen. And so, as someone who's been reporting on this issue for a lot of that time, what's the experience been like for you? I imagine it was a bit complicated at times with all the different legal issues and digging through court documents and figuring out who's suing who.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a legal background, so sifting through the court documents was sometimes tedious. I do have to give a lot of credit to my news manager, Cassie Somer, who we would sit together and we would really decipher what all the legal lingo meant. And I think they said I wrote like over 100 stories about the project. And it's one that I could call my own. It was nice that I did generate a lot of sources who were really helpful. And some of those sources were the people in my ear giving me the heads up on what would happen. And I ended up having a lot of exclusives because other media across the city were covering this project. So it was, you know, I would say as a journalist, it was an exciting project to cover, and I can plan to continue it, this smaller wheel happens. But I think that it was a little bit more challenging than some of the other long-term stories that I've covered, because a lot of the information did come out of those legal documents. So I've learned how to read legal papers.
So obviously there's no way that you can say this definitively, but in your opinion, do you think that this wheel ever gets built? And if so, do you plan on riding it?
I do think that these EB5 investors are serious and they do want to get this built. And because it is a federal program where the money comes in and it's these people who want to invest and want to come to this country and get their green card, I think it has a very high potential for happening. And yes, I definitely said I want the first ride on this. So I've been covering it. I guess I deserve to get into the first car at least.
That's what I was going to say. After reporting on it, you know, for over 5 years, then I think you've earned yourself a spot in there, and maybe you can even get past the $35 price tag or whatever they're planning for the new wheel, because that's a bit pricey. But I mean, that view, I'm sure, of the Manhattan skyline will be unbelievable. Thank you so much for joining us, Tracy. I really appreciate it, and keep up the great work.
Thanks, Eric.
Did you know on August 29th, 1964, Mid-Island Little League beat Monterrey of Mexico 4-0 to win the Little League World Series title? Thank you for listening to the Staten Island Advances from the Scene. If you like what you've heard, please make sure to rate and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and visit silive.com for the latest on all these stories and more. Thank you for supporting local journalism.